And for the next half hour, I'll be reading from the Investigative Post on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. First up, this story is titled, Program Pays Local Cops to Arrest Immigrants. Border County Sheriff's deputies participating in Operation Stone Garden have facilitated dozens of immigration arrests in recent years. Governor Kathy Hochul supports the program. A Jefferson County Sheriff's deputy was patrolling near a strip mall in Watertown, 30 miles south of New York's border with Canada, last December, when he spotted a Chevrolet cargo van. He noted three traffic violations: failing to turn on headlights, signaling improperly before making a turn, and driving with cracked glass. The deputy, Sean Bulger, stopped the vehicle and learned that the driver, a 52-year-old man, was a native of Brazil. He had a Pennsylvania driver's license. His passenger was carrying a Brazilian passport. The deputy reported in sparse detail what happened next. He called a Border Patrol officer, quote, who came to assist, unquote. Both individuals were detained and transported to BP station for deportation, he wrote. The call to Border Patrol wasn't necessary to address the alleged traffic violations, and it had nothing to do with any state crime. But that day, it was very much part of the county deputy's job. He was conducting a special overtime patrol as part of his agency's participation in Operation Stone Garden, a federal program that pays local law enforcement to work with U.S. Border Patrol. A New York-focused investigation has found that in some counties, the program has turned local cops into occasional immigration agents. Available records show that New York sheriff's deputies on Stone Garden detail have reported turning over at least 24 immigrants to Border Patrol since 2023, mostly after traffic stops. That's likely an undercount. The records are sourced from 5 of the 13 participating counties, and New York Focus's tally does not include an additional 21 people whom deputies turned over to Border Patrol for reasons they did not explain in their reports. Since 2009, a few years after the program launched on the U.S.-Mexico border, Stone Garden has funneled tens of millions of dollars to the state's Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, which has doled out about $30 million to New York's border counties for local deputies and police to conduct traffic stops and patrol marinas and trails. The counties also use Stone Garden funds to buy equipment, particularly surveillance technology, like automatic license plate readers. Several sheriffs told New York Focus that Stone Garden patrols have nothing to do with immigration enforcement, focusing instead on drug interdiction or preventing human trafficking. But at least three counties have used the funds to assist in immigration arrests, records show. The revelations come as New York leaders vow to combat President Donald Trump's mass deportation campaign. Earlier this year, the state enacted legislation banning a controversial type of formal partnership between police and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as a 287G agreement. Passed under the banner Local Cops, Local Crimes, the measure was a response to concerns that local police were assisting federal agents with immigration arrests. We're sending a strong message to ICE. You will not weaponize local police officers against their own communities in the state of New York, Governor Kathy Hochul said in January. Yet the measure Hochul signed into law left local cops free to work with immigration agents outside of 287G agreements, including through lesser-known programs like Operation Stone Garden. State Senator Andrew Gonordes, who's among a group of legislators pushing for a broader ban on local collusion with immigration agents, said New York Focus's findings regarding Stone Garden show why stricter policies are necessary. I think we should push for more guardrails and more answers to these questions, and ask why local police are being funded to turn people over to the federal government based on the suspicion that they're here without status, he said. State Senator Rachel May, whose Syracuse area district includes a sliver of Lake Ontario, described the program as potentially an end run around what we were trying to do by banning 287G contracts. Hochul and other Democrats have boosted Stone Garden, this year touting the $2.7 million award as part of millions in federal funding to support counterterrorism and emergency preparedness efforts. The governor's public statements about the program don't mention immigration enforcement. In response to New York Focus's findings, a spokesperson for Hochul's office said in a statement that the governor will always support local law enforcement in securing our borders and maintaining public safety. This administration will not aid ICE in federal civil immigration enforcement, the statement said. The spokesperson did not acknowledge that through Operation Stone Garden, local police are assisting Border Patrol, like ICE, part of the Department of Homeland Security, with exactly that. The federal government paid Jefferson County just over $800 for the 10-hour shift during which a deputy stopped the Brazilian man in Watertown, records show. The form the deputy completed to document his work that day included fields for number of vehicle stops, penal code violations, and total number of people turned over to Border Patrol. The driver, who asked to be identified by his last name, Martins, told New York Focus that he and his brother-in-law had just left work at a construction site for a lunch break when the sheriff's deputy pulled him over. He did have a cracked windshield, he said, but insisted that he had signaled appropriately and did not need to turn on his lights because it was midday. "He simply approached me so he could call Border Patrol," Martin said. Border Patrol agents showed up within 10 minutes, he said. Bulger did not write him a ticket, he said. Bulger did not respond to a request for comment. Jefferson County Sheriff Peter Barnett did not respond to emails and phone calls requesting comment. Martins, who had lived in the U.S. for almost 5 years and was in the process of appealing a deportation order, wound up detained by ICE in the Broome County Jail for 2 months before a federal judge ordered a bond hearing. He was released on a $50,000 bond in early February. His family had to borrow money to pay it. To keep up with payments, Martin works from 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. almost every day at a construction site in Maryland, he said. His months-long detention was wrong, he believes, in part because of how it started, with a traffic stop on a cold winter day. "I felt at that moment that my constitutional rights were being violated," he said. "I felt that it was almost illegal." Sheriffs paid to secure borders. Every border county in New York receives funds through Operation Stone Garden, in amounts ranging from $100,000 to $325,000 this year, plus $90,000 for the St. Regis Mohawk tribe. Stone Garden's funding for overtime patrols is meant to give deputies time and resources to help Border Patrol secure U.S. international borders, according to the county's contracts with the state. Deputies on a Stone Garden shift are not supposed to respond to regular calls involving local crimes unless necessary. Instead, they keep an eye on the interstates and state roads that run toward Canada, as well as waterways and trails near the border. They submit daily activity reports to the Department of Homeland Security to document each shift. In Jefferson and Oswego counties, those reports show that deputies have helped detain at least 23 immigrants since 2023. Chautauqua County deputies turned over at least one person to Border Patrol in 2023. The records do not indicate that the people apprehended had recently crossed over into the United States. In written responses to New York Focus's questions, Chautauqua County Sheriff James Quattrone said that Border Patrol has not directed departments participating in Stone Garden to enforce immigration law. At the same time, he wrote, department policy calls for contacting Border Patrol when officers encounter undocumented immigrants during criminal investigations or arrests. Documents and video footage obtained by New York Focus show how some of the arrests unfolded. On April 1, 2025, Oswego County Deputy Michael Farah summarized his shift with the line, "Turned over eight illegal immigrants to USBP." Body camera footage from that day shows a deputy pulling over a red pickup truck near a church in Fulton, New York. "You took like a big winding right, then you were just speeding a little quick back there," the deputy says. The driver tells him that he and his passengers, all men in work clothes, are on their way to a construction job. As the deputy walks back to his vehicle, holding the man's license and registration, he crossed paths with a Border Patrol agent. "Sup, man," the deputy says. The two men bump fists. At the end of the 23-minute video, Border Patrol agents lead two of the truck's passengers into their van. That same day, an Oswego County deputy conducted another traffic stop that resulted in Border Patrol detaining several more people on their way to work, including a man named Altelmo Labato. In an incident report, Ferro wrote that he had been patrolling with a Border Patrol agent when they arrested Labato. The agent later told him that Lobato had a 15-year-old U.S. citizen son who would have no other guardians once Lobato was deported, the deputy wrote. He contacted the County Department of Social Services so they could look for a foster family for the boy, who eventually joined his father in Mexico. Ferro declined to comment. Many of the immigration arrests initiated by Oswego County deputies, including Lobato's, were previously reported by Syracuse.com. Last year, the Attorney General opened an investigation into the Oswego County Sheriff's Office's interactions with federal law enforcement involving immigration. The office declined to comment about Operation Stone Garden and told New York Focus it had no updates on its investigation into Oswego. Oswego County Sheriff Don Hilton did not respond to emails and phone messages requesting comment. Last year, he told the Oswego Palladium Times that a small fraction of traffic stops his deputies conducted resulted in a call to Border Patrol. Half of those calls involved an ongoing criminal investigation, and the other half were to ask federal agents for translation help, he said. Syracuse.com reported earlier this year that the sheriff's office said its deputies had conducted no stops with federal agents in 2026. In another body camera video, an Oswego sheriff's deputy pulls over a white box truck with expired registration and discovers that the two men inside, who only speak Spanish, lack driver's licenses. He calls a tow truck to take the vehicle that they're not allowed to drive, and a Spanish-speaking Border Patrol agent to explain the tickets. The men waited nearly an hour for the agent to arrive. Local police in New York are allowed to contact federal agents to report that they suspect someone of being in the country illegally, but they cannot detain people for civil immigration offenses, like overstaying a visa, without a warrant. That includes situations where police hold someone longer than needed to process their criminal charges so immigration agents can arrive to pick them up, attorney Letitia James wrote in 2020. When the agent finally arrives, he describes the traffic violations, then asks the men what countries they're from and if they have documents to be in the U.S. The video does not capture their full answers. The agent then pats the men down and directs them into his car. "Good to go, bro," the agent says to the Oswego deputy after he shuts the door. 11 of the Stone Garden immigration arrests that New York Focus identified took place in Jefferson County, a summer travel destination bordering Lake Ontario and the St. Lawrence River. Deputies reported turning over an additional 17 people to Border Patrol without specifying why they did so. Three of the confirmed immigration arrests took place in the first 5 months of 2026, the most recent time frame for which New York Focus obtained records. Last year, seven Monroe County legislators voted against accepting Stone Garden funds. This year, the grant drew more opposition, and activists who oppose local collaboration with immigration authorities launched a campaign to try to defeat it. "We recognize that other law enforcement agencies across the country may elect to use this agreement to assist the federal government with immigration enforcement," Monroe County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy Michael Fowler wrote to county lawmakers last month. "However, our law enforcement powers are granted by New York State, and we must follow New York State law. Therefore, we are prohibited from immigration enforcement duties by New York State law." On August 11th, the legislature voted 17-12 to accept the funding. Earlier this year, after New York Focus uncovered that Oswego County Sheriff's deputies held immigrants at traffic stops until border agents arrived, residents packed a meeting of the county legislature to call for police to stop working with immigration authorities. A woman named Connie Alpeter brought up Stone Garden. "Even counties without formal ICE agreements can still contribute to immigration enforcement activities," she said. "This is why Operation Stone Garden deserves closer public scrutiny." You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Investigative Post on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Let's take a look at Jim Haney's column called Off the News. Jim Haney comments on recent stories that caught his eye. WBEN says bye-bye to Tom Bowerly. WBEN fired Tom Bowerly, its kooky wingnut talk show host, a week before his contract was set to expire. A surprising move, given his 24-year tenure with the station. His dismissal might be explained by the financial challenges facing the radio station's chain owner, and might be related to the retirement in June of longtime station manager Tim Wenger. Bowerly's firing sent readers to previous reporting by Jeff Kelly on Bowerly's legal battle with his siblings over their mother's estate. The Buffalo Bills, in exchange for $250 million in funding from the county, on top of $600 million from the state to build a new stadium, are obligated to spend $3 million a year in the community. Trouble is, more than one-third of that amount thus far is coming in the form of in-kind contributions, such as donated tickets, rather than cold hard cash. Some people want the team to pony up with money, not freebies. 3 years ago, we reported that the community benefits agreement that governs the annual payments is flawed. A grassroots organization has been established by Eastside activists in an effort to undo the damage caused by highway construction, urban renewal, and the like. Here's how the Buffalo City in a Park Collaborative describes their mission to Buffalo Rising. Buffalo was designed to be a city where people, neighborhoods, and nature were interconnected. We believe that vision remains relevant today. By reconnecting communities, restoring parkways and green spaces, and investing in neighborhoods, we can create a healthier, more equitable, and more prosperous Buffalo. Moderate Democrats in New York State are facing a generational reckoning, according to Politico New York. Left-leaning frustration with incumbents or anyone tied to the establishment has led younger voters to back first-time candidates with scant political experience, but who mirror their rage over the cost of living and question the United States' long-standing support for Israel. Are license plate readers the new data centers? You know, unpopular in a bipartisan kind of way? Water levels at the nation's two largest reservoirs, fed by the Colorado River, have hit record lows. The blueprint for addressing the crisis, as some are portraying it, involves cutting water supplies to California, Arizona, and Nevada by 40% over the next decade. This prompts me to say again that Great Lakes cities like Buffalo are likely to become destinations for climate refugees as the Southwest becomes hotter and drier. We need to get our act together first, however. Media insiders share their thoughts on what television will look like in 3 years. The future, in a word, is turmoil. Donald Trump has filed no fewer than 61 lawsuits against media outlets since 2015, including 25 since he started his second term a year and a half ago. He now reportedly has a new target, a think tank whose analysis of the National Guard's deployment in cities found it did nothing to reduce crime. Meanwhile, Brendan Carr, head of the FCC, is in cahoots with the White House and right-wing media outlets, as he does battle with mainstream news outlets and late-night talk show hosts. Said one critic, "This raises serious questions about whether the FCC is operating as an independent regulator or whether political relationships and industry influence have become too intertwined with its decision-making." This week's Doonesbury features Trump talking crypto on the golf course. And RIP to Frank Beard, the beardless drummer of ZZ Top. That little old band from Texas performed on The Tonight Show, a clip that's worth watching, complete with Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen getting into the spirit with fake beards. Investigative Post sues over the suppression of police records. Orchard Park police are refusing to release arrest reports involving the apprehension of migrants done in cooperation with ICE and other federal immigration agents. Arrest reports are considered public record and routinely released by police departments. A number of law enforcement agencies in Western New York collaborate with federal immigration authorities. Police in Cheektowaga, for example, are known to stop migrants for low-level offenses and then hand them over to Border Patrol agents. Police in Lewiston, Amherst, and North Tonawanda also cooperate with immigration agencies, as does the Erie County Sheriff's Office. While reporting on these collaborations late last year, sources suggested to Investigative Post that the Orchard Park Police Department also works with immigration agencies. So, in January, Investigative Post filed a Freedom of Information request with the town to learn more. The request sought arrest and incident reports that mention a person's immigration status or collaboration between Orchard Park Police and ICE, Border Patrol, or Customs and Border Protection. But Orchard Park rejected that request, ruling that any records detailing collaboration between police and immigration agencies are confidential. The town, to date, has refused to release any documents. Investigative Post is now suing the town to compel them to release the reports. Secret arrests are anathematic to a free and democratic society, said Kyle Klaus, an attorney with Cornell Law School's First Amendment Clinic, which was representing an investigative post in the lawsuit. The town of Orchard Park and Orchard Park Police have attempted to shroud in official secrecy arrest and incident reports that are routinely disclosed to the press and public, simply because ICE, CBP, and Border Patrol were involved. Orchard Park Supervisor Joe Liberti did not respond to a request for comment for this story. The town has not yet responded to the lawsuit in court. A hearing before State Supreme Court Judge Dennis Ward is scheduled for October 7th. Here's a story titled, 11 Charter Changes Advanced to Buffalo Voters. Details on the measures on the November 3rd ballot. They range from the mundane to the transformative. Come November 3rd, Buffalo voters will have extra long ballots. They'll be asked to vote yes or no on some 11 referendum items placed on their ballots by the city's Charter Revision Commission. That's the group that was tasked with revising the city's constitution over the past year, which has now largely concluded its work. There are so many referendum questions that ballot designers at the Erie County Board of Elections are currently puzzling over how they'll fit everything on one piece of paper. It's a challenge we have to meet and will, said Derek Murphy, a spokesperson for the Erie County Board of Elections. The referenda going before voters range from the basic, should the city maintain public websites for its various boards and commissions, to the transformative, should Buffalo establish a human rights commission that would have the power to thoroughly investigate discrimination and abuse against city residents by employers, business owners, and police. Voters will also be asked whether the city comptroller should have more say over the annual budget and whether the city should create a police advisory commission. The nearly dozen referenda are the product of a sometimes fraught charter revision process that some advocates nonetheless said represent a victory for progressive causes in Buffalo. Below is a breakdown of each referendum item. Commission on Human Rights. Buffalo's charter currently includes a commission on citizens' rights and community relations that has the power to hear complaints of discrimination and police misconduct, conduct investigations, including issuing subpoenas and conducting interviews, and recommend action and response. That body, however, is non-functional and has never initiated an investigation. Civilian Police Advisory Commission. How to hold Buffalo police accountable was a hot topic throughout the commission's tenure. While some members advocated for a robust oversight body that would have the power to investigate and discipline officers, such a measure failed to gain momentum. Instead, the commission members agreed to propose an advisory commission that will hear issues and complaints from residents and make policy recommendations to city leadership. There's a referendum about a commission to study election reform. The Charter Revision Commission, this go-round, failed to advance three proposals that would have changed how elections are run in Buffalo. As a compromise, the commission agreed to establish a task force to study the election reform measures further. There's a city budget process reforms referendum. At present, the mayor holds the cards when it comes to the city's annual budget. The mayor writes the budget, and if the Common Council amends it in a way he doesn't like, he can veto their version, allowing the original proposal to stand if lawmakers cannot muster enough votes to override his veto. The city comptroller can offer an opinion on the budget, but it is not binding. This charter revision would change that process. First, the mayor would have to give a draft budget to the city comptroller a month early. The comptroller would then prepare a report with recommendations on what budget lines to increase or decrease. Another referendum concerns revitalizing or eliminating inactive boards. Buffalo is home to numerous boards and commissions. Active ones do everything from approving design plans for new buildings to granting licenses to plumbers. But the city has plenty of inactive boards that technically exist but do nothing or haven't met in years. This measure would suspend any board that hasn't met in a year or more, or compel the Common Council to review the necessity of all inactive city boards and commissions, and then either decommission them or appoint new members to rejuvenate them. Referendum is on the ballot for transparency for boards and commissions. For boards and commissions that are active, this ballot initiative would require City Hall to maintain a webpage for them, provide training to members, post application forms online in the event of a vacancy, and offer orientation to newly appointed members. There is a referendum regarding the Common Council president becomes acting mayor. The first revision would clarify that in the event of a vacancy in the mayor's office, the council president will become the acting mayor. At present, the charter does not make clear if the council president eventually becomes acting mayor or just performs the duties of the mayor's office. There's a referendum for acting elected officials. The second revision would clarify that when an elected official takes a position on an acting basis, they assume all powers and duties of that office while they hold the position. It would also allow the person to collect the pay of the acting position, which became a question while Scanlon was acting as mayor. He collected the mayor's salary instead of the council president's salary. And finally, there's a referendum regarding a succession plan for Common Council president. This revision would allow the Common Council to appoint a temporary member in the event its president becomes the acting mayor. When Scanlon became acting mayor, his council seat was left vacant because there was no mechanism in place to fill it. This change would allow the council to accept resumes for temporary members from residents of the same district who belong to the same political party as the former council member. The person would then serve until a new council member is elected at the general election. That article was by J. Dale Shoemaker. You have been listening to a reading of articles and features from the Investigative Post. We read from the Investigative Post on Thursdays at 8:30 a.m. Your reader has been Jim Michaeli. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Welcome to another broadcast day in the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, a private not-for-profit organization. Radio Reading volunteers broadcast daily readings of newspapers, magazines, and books to area blind and different handicapped persons who are provided reading radios. We broadcast the subcarrier signal of WNET-FM Radio Buffalo, and that's provided without charge by the Western New York Public Broadcasting Association. As always, please stay with us. Our Lawful News will be coming up in just a second. And feel free to contact us with any comments, suggestions, or any questions that you might have.